And now I'd like to introduce tonight's speaker, Tony H. from San Diego.
Hold on. I gotta go to another level. Okay, you guys, I am very nervous, so deal with me. My name is Tony, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is July 12, 2019, and I am so grateful. Part of my recovery, I have relapsed in my story, but they were very short and small, because every time I relapsed, I kept hearing y'all, keep coming back, keep it simple. So you guys messed up my high, and I came back, and I'm glad. Let me see. I'm the oldest of three kids. My parents have been married for 52 years. My father passed in 2006, and I get to help my mom, who's having an aging situation going on. I have two children that I raised pretty good, drinking, but I'm doing better. I have three grandchildren that I'm doing an awesome job with. I'm doing the bomb diggity grandma shit, because I'm in AA. They're lucky, and I'm lucky also. I was raised in Los Angeles, California. I was the only child for 8 years in Los Angeles. I got to experience the Watts Riot, which was the trip. Then my parents moved. We moved to Carson, California. That was traumatizing because we moved into this big old house that I wasn't used to, because all my friends and cousins had little houses. So in reality, we had moved up. I mean, we had an upstairs, downstairs house. The garage was connected to the house. The carpet was attached to the floors. The windows moved. They wasn't painted. We moved up, all right? So I'm like, wow. And I went to elementary school, junior high school in the same neighborhood. So all the friends I had, we grew up together. My parents were very protective. I never got a chance to walk to school. They took me every day. It was a trip because I moved into, we were the second African Americans in our neighborhood. So that was different because I thought I was rich because of all the Caucasian people I saw were on TV. So I'm like, we made it. I didn't know, honey, other folks was coming. You know, my parents just had a down payment. So high school was cool. I was in drill team. That's when the curiosity cat came out the bag. Most of my friends were the oldest. I was the oldest in my family. So the stuff they got away with and got to do, I was like, shit, why can't I do that? Well, I couldn't. My father worked probation and parole, and my mother was a school teacher in the heart of Compton. So it was no joking, no playing. What he said, he meant. What he meant, he said. My mother was a teacher. She was the snitch. My father was the enforcer, and he put that shit down. I was raised in a time and era where children were seen, not heard. We didn't talk back. We didn't ask why. We didn't run up and down the street all times of the night. We did not come in when the street lights came in. We wasn't allowed to stay out that long. My father had a strict hold on us, and now that I'm clean, I understand why. I was pretty good. I was always a good kid because I knew who my daddy was. And we lived in a neighborhood where he put his foot down around the whole neighborhood, so everybody knew him. And I came up in an era where parents weren't afraid to tell on kids. So I was afraid to get told on. So I just was bad in other people's neighborhoods. You know, I didn't do no shit in my neighborhood because I knew they knew my daddy. He was the type, he was on the community boards and all that stuff. I was like, dang, why don't he just go somewhere? So you know, my mother was a school teacher. We knew when the report cards was coming, you wasn't changing no grades, none of that. And my father had a type of job, he was like, don't let me come to that school. So I was quiet all the time till I got out. So high school was great, I graduated early. I went to junior college, that's when it got to popping. I was meeting people from everywhere, and they were doing everything, and they were driving all kind of cars, and the boys had money. I was in like Flint. I was like, this is what I've been waiting on, to get some freedom, you know what I'm saying? But that freedom, I paid a price. I paid a price. When I came up, most of my classmates in 78, we didn't go to college. Some of the people did. Those were the good kids. But the rest of us, we got good jobs because there was Pacific Bell, the post office, what's the shipyard. We got good jobs because we didn't have to take no drug tests. And it was like, who you know got you in. So I got a job at the post office. Mm-mm-mm. Good money, bad people. That's, no, I'm just telling you my experience. Okay, I don't know what you went through, but I'm gonna tell you what I did. Okay, I got in there young. We was, most of the young girls, we was fine and tender. So them old men, maybe y'all husbands, was treating us real nice. But with that came a price, because it was drugs in the post office at that time. There was something to put you down, something to wake you up. By God's mercy, I got fired before I got caught doing some of the stuff I was doing, and that's a whole nother organization. I got out of that without going to jail, getting in trouble, and I always knew if I got in trouble, my father was going to come into jail and beat my ass anyway, so it wasn't worth it. So after I lost my job, I got pregnant. I was 25 years old, and I was scared to death to tell my father, because he didn't raise me like that. And he was all this in the neighborhood. I didn't know. I just knew people were scared of him like me. And I had the baby. Had the baby by the wrong slick man. This was the man that introduced me to other stuff. And I was out there willing and dealing and just all kind of crazy stuff. You know how that go. So I had the baby. I moved out, got my own place, more freedom. So I met this young man who was in the military. I married him. I lived in Navy housing. Party all the time. You know, your husband go out to sea with all the neighbors' husbands. All us girls got together, and it was popping. You got $2, da-da-da. We got our money together. They had the little store on the Navy housing. We knew to get there before it closed. We got our little beer. We did our little whoop, whoop, wham, whams, and that was it. So we got orders to come out here. And it was difficult for me because I didn't know anybody. I was afraid. I was like, I got too far from my parents. And they were only in Carson. But it was different being around people I didn't know. And then I didn't have a job. It took me 9 months to find a job. I'm fighting alcohol. But back up. Let me back up. I've been fighting alcohol for 3 decades. But I didn't know I was an alcoholic. I thought everybody drank, smoked weed, smoked cigarettes, wake up, go to work, fake it till you make it. That's not true. I had to find out the hard way because I prayed at night, God, please don't make me do it tomorrow. In the morning, I said, God, I'm not going to do it today. I broke all my promises with God, and I couldn't make it. I didn't make it. I tried church. I was just begging. I wasn't praying. So I really know now that if you want God to do something for you, you have to be serious and have a connection. I didn't have one. I went to church. I went hungover, high. I just showed up. But I didn't know that for him to work in my life, I had to have a connection. But now I know. So I got a job with the city, and I was still drinking. So, of course, I found people that drank. And we partied in all the negative clubs in Dago, all the bad ones. I was there. And I just couldn't figure out what is wrong with me. Why can't I stop? So I got courageous and I called Kaiser. No, back up. I drank one day and you guys called it a blackout. I didn't know. I thought it was a nap. Because I drank every night and went to sleep. I didn't know I was blacking out, going to sleep. But when I did it in the daytime and I woke up, it scared me. I'd never been scared of alcohol, but it scared me. And I'm like, I don't know what happened, but I got some courage from somewhere and I called Kaiser. And they said, well, come on down. And I went down there and I did the intake and I blew in the horn and everything. They gave me medicine. They said, well, you've been drinking a long time. You need to take these pills. You might get the shakes. I said, okay, fine. I got all my little paperwork, and they advised me, you suggested you need to go to AA, and we're going to get you a therapist. So I said, well, I'll see the therapist first before I go to AA. And when I went to see the therapist, she told me, take this test, the questionnaire, the 20 questions. I answered it honestly and correctly, and I said, I am one of them people, like, I didn't think I was an alcoholic because I had a job, a piece of a car. Everything in the car, one thing worked on each side. The door, the lock, the window, the wheel. I have never had matching tires. And, you know, I'm just riding around in a bucket, and it was like, something's wrong with my life. So I went to see the therapist, and she suggested to go to AA. So I got the little book, and the first place I started was the Southeast Logan AA. Alcoholics, and I'm nervous. Slow down, Tony, slow down. Southeast Alano Club. And I went there, and I'm like, look at all these people. First, I was just scared. Like, all these people say they're alcoholics and drug addicts. I'm like, I don't know about this. So I started on Sundays. It was women's meetings. And I heard these women share their stories. And I was, like, amazed, like, wow, women do this, but look at them. They were beautiful. They bloomed. And I'm like, this is the first time I've ever been nosy, and it paid off. Because I was like, this bullshit. They wasn't doing all that. No. So I started going every Sunday. And then I got a coffee commitment because of my sponsor. Let me go back to my sponsor. This lady, I've been knowing her. I didn't know nothing about her. She came to my job every day for a year. And I just ran my mouth. I got invited to the women sponsoring women. And I seen, it was like women just coming. And I'm like, I ain't going in there. I get in there and I see her. I was so embarrassed. I was like, she knows my secret. And she asked me what was going on. And I'm like, I'm checking out AA because I'm an alcoholic. And I was just like, I don't even want her to come to my job no more. She knows my secret, because this was my secret. I was faking it because I didn't know how to make it. So she knew my secret. And I talked to her, and I asked her to be my sponsor. And she said yes. So I started going to meetings, and I did the coffee. I was mad because they made me make coffee, and I didn't even drink coffee. Then I had to clean up. And I needed to clean up at home. I didn't want to clean up at no club, but I did it because I had to learn discipline. I didn't have any. I had to learn boundaries. I didn't have any. I just had to listen to somebody that was going to correct my bad behavior and my attitude and help me with my alcoholism. So we meet every 2 weeks. I talk to her all the time. She knows a lot of my business. I share it. I've never heard it again. I trust her. I love her because she real with me. I thought she was, you know, I knew her, so I thought she was going to be cool. She's straight about her business with this AA. It is, you my friend, but this is the business we got going. So I appreciate you, your integrity, everywhere you go. You're the same. My sister, you got my back, and I love you for that. So it's a lot of people in here that I know that you guys may know, and they probably looking at me like, she really got a story. Yes, I do. What happened? I drank. I came here. Came to AA. I got the sponsor and the steps, the 12 steps. I didn't know it was homework. That's why I didn't go to college. It was homework. And she's like, we got to read, take notes. We did the 12 steps, and I realized the 12 steps helped me figure out what was the root of my problem, what was wrong with me. And I figured it out. I had a lot of issues, unsolved issues that weren't discussed in my life that needed to be discussed. And I heard somebody say in a meeting, peeling the onion. I'm like, what are they talking about? And as I start reading and sharing, I start peeling that depression off, the pain, them bad relationships I allowed myself to be in too long for all the wrong reasons. And the weight just started lifting, and I started sharing more, and I had to get listening skills, because I'm a talker. I ain't going to listen to you. I'm going to over-talk you. But I wasn't going to learn nothing if I didn't listen. So I had to get some listening skills. There's a lot of stuff I didn't learn growing up, because we didn't have alcoholism in our family. So the things that I'm dealing with, my parents were surprised. And then the things I did in the streets, I had a curfew till 25. Y'all ain't gonna believe that. I was probably the highest person in the world getting home on time, because I knew I would be locked out, beat down, and who else knows whatever else. But I knew this is not right. There's something my parents didn't know, but when I went to rehab in 88, they understood, because I got to tell them. You know, I had a lot of responsibilities at 14, watching two kids. At 14 to 18, that's when a teenager wants to get out. You want to maybe not have a boyfriend, but hang out. I was raised very strict, but as an adult now, I see why. Because I was never molested. You know, we couldn't spend the night over people's house. So all of it comes together. I know why my father was the way he was, and I understand why my mom listened to him, because he was the man of the house. And then I had the kind of father, I was wishing he wouldn't come home. He came home every day. He was home every weekend. He took us camping. He took us fishing. We drove in a station wagon from here to Texas to Louisiana every year. I couldn't stand it. I was just like, I thought we were poor because we never flew. So now that I'm older, it's all coming together. He was a good man with good morals and values. I just didn't want to follow the rules. I mean, I had to follow him, but I thought he was so strict, it was frustrating. So whenever I got out, I did it till I was satisfied to curfew time. You know, I'm a shake, rock, and roll till like 15 minutes till I got to be home, and then I'm be home on time. Which was a good thing, because all bad things happen after dark and late at night. That was a hot mess. A hot mess. Financially embarrassed, riding around with a bucket. With my children, I drank their entire life. I was verbally abusive. I didn't beat them, but I cussed. I was a cusser. I cussed like a sailor. All that has changed. It's just the little things that you don't think matter, they do. I don't keep alcohol in my house. I don't let people come over and party. You gonna party, you go over there and I'll come visit you and leave. Some of my family members drink, but they drink like ladies and gentlemen. So when I go around with the alcoholics, I'm just like Debbie Downer, like they like, here she come. Cause I don't drink, you know, and I can't be around them too much because I like the effects of alcohol, but it has caused me nothing but drama. I have medical issues. I developed ulcerated colitis. That's bleeding ulcers from drinking. I'm in a financial bind. Do not drink, be an alcoholic or an addict, and sign any legal papers. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm $60,000 in debt for signing a loan, trying to get some money to flip some money, drinking. Not opening my bills. I'm a procrastinator. I wouldn't open my bills. I'd push them to the side. When you call me, I open it. I'm learning a very valuable lesson. I am, the wreckage of my alcoholism. Now that I'm sober, I see. I've done a lot of dumb stuff, but it's okay. I've made phone calls to make arrangements now. I wouldn't have done that. So now I'm at peace. I'm not stressing out. How am I going to pay these people? You know, I can call people and talk to them and not lie. Not lie. Get late fees erased. Tell them the truth. I didn't know the truth would set you free. Now I know. There's a whole lot I didn't know until I got in these rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and you people, listening to you people, going to speaker meetings, just listening. Meeting before the meeting, meeting after the meeting, getting to know people, because I was very judgmental. I'd look at you and like, you know, who am I? Somebody's probably out there looking at me like, who is she? So these rooms and you people, I don't mean you people like you're different, but you guys, my friends who are just like me, you guys have opened my eyes to so much diversity, learning how to accept responsibility, learning how to accept criticism, learning how to take compliments, learning how to give them, just being peaceful. I've learned before I wake up. Well, when I wake up, pray, meditate. I heard this guy say, before his feet touch the ground, he's thanking God. Wow. I used to just ask God for what I wanted. Hey, I need a boyfriend. I need a full tank of gas. You know, I didn't know. I was begging. Coming to these rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I learned that God don't operate like that. You know, you got to have a connection with him. So I do. Now I go to church, I'm alert. I'm taking notes. I pay tithes. Yeah, oh, and what? 10% of my money? That got to go to the other places. But now I know when I do the right thing, I reap the benefits. And now I don't have to fake it till I make it, because now I know where I'm going. Okay, I'm looking at the clock, 20 minutes. I could say this is the best thing that happened to me besides graduating from high school. I am paying attention. I love the knowledge. I'm not afraid. I know how to say no without being guilty, because I'm a people pleaser. I want to make you happy. And then I came last. I'm learning self-care. I didn't know how to take care of myself. I knew how to strive. I knew how to make it, survive, but I wasn't happy. And then I come here and you guys talk about happy, joyous, and free. I'm like, what they talking about? I ain't have a clue. Till I kept coming back. And now I know there are things that I can do to make me happy. I had to find things that would satisfy me to where I was content with me and like me. And I'm going to go back to my sponsor. She told me one day, look in the mirror. And I looked in her phone and I couldn't do it. She said, every day, I want you to look in the mirror and tell yourself you love you. That was deep. That was deep. I was like, it took a while because when I came in, I was dusty. So I had to fill out. I was like 95 pounds wet. After I started taking care of myself, I started filling out. My skin complexion changed. I started taking care of myself. I knew how to pray for me and you. I learned how to pray. I knew prayers, but I had to learn how to pray to have the connection. It's been a difficult, challenging road, but God dang it, it's worth it. It's worth it. Every meeting I've gone to, every speaker meeting, every person I've met, and then I came here and learned how to hug. I was like, what the hell? You know, I only hug my boyfriend. These women hug so long and you could feel it. I was like, let go. But now I'm okay with it. Because I was like, these people are weird. They be hugging and talking about, I love you. I was like, okay. But after a while, after coming, you know, a couple of years, it's like, all right, I got it, you know. I've learned to, when I travel, go to meetings. I went on a cruise, and they had an AA meeting. I said, this ship rocks. You know, and some of the people I was out there partying with, one or two, they was in the meeting. I'm like, this is the business. My boyfriend and I went to Colorado. We went to meetings. It was like, his sister was like, you guys going to meetings? We like, we want to stay sober. You know, wherever you go, there's meetings. I was just stuck in the desert. Went to a meeting. I walked in and it was only one person my color. I was kind of nervous. But I walked in there because I was getting ready to relapse, and I was scared. Those people, I told them what was going on. When they opened their arms to me, I said, this is the business. You could go anywhere, and AA will open their arms and let you in and let you cry on their shoulder, listen to you, and tell you it's going to be all right. This is the most encouraging organization I've ever known of in my life. And I'm so happy. I'm so happy to say that. I be telling people, you know how once you get clean, you think you know other people who need to be clean? I be seeing people, and I just could politely just start talking. You know, girl, I got to go to an AA meeting, whatever. And people, you could tell they want to know what you're talking about. They really want to know, but they were just like me, scared. Don't know what to do. Don't know who to ask. Don't know what to ask. You just going to keep beating yourself up. And I did it for years. So now I share. I'm just like, it'll be okay. And just think, everybody in here is a miracle. Or you looking for one? And all of us have hope. I came in here hopeless, not knowing which way to go, which way is up. What am I going to do with the rest of my life? I didn't wake up till I have a mini me, and she's one of us. And this program really pushed me to do better, to show her, don't follow your mama's footsteps. Don't do it. So I'm an example for her. We still praying. You know, you don't stop praying for your kids. But I still want to do the right thing, so I am a mentor to her, so she can see my mama go to meetings all the time. When she get mad at us, she go to meetings. She's always reading her stuff. You know, I want to show her better than I can tell her. This is a better way for you, boo. I didn't have older siblings to teach me anything, so I learned firsthand the struggle, the disappointments, the failures. It was rough. But I'm okay now that I know. And now that I can share, it really makes me feel like I'm somebody. Like, yeah, I'm going to tell you something that's going to help you. Because normally I was Debbie Downer. I bring your ass down. I got gossip. I got drama and some more stuff. So my life has really changed, and I'm proud of me. I'm very proud of me. And like I said, my mom's in a situation. She's 89 years old, and I told Julie, I got to watch my mom. She said, no, you get to. And this is something, I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but I'm learning a lot of compassion with my mom. I'm humble. I'm learning to be patient. And all those characteristics I never had. So I believe my higher power, which is God, he knows what he's doing. I don't know. I keep asking him, what you doing, dude? He knows. So I'm just following directions, just trying to keep the peace because I don't know how long she's going to be here. And I had a lot of, resentments with my mom. And I'm letting them go slowly. It's a slow process. But if I don't help myself, I can't help her. And I'm like the oldest basically in the family. So when our aunts and uncles and cousins have passed, I'm that next generation. So I'm the one that has to put it out there and be strong and say, if I could do it, you guys can do it. So I'm just trying to lead by example, share what I learn, be of service every day, everywhere I go. I've got two commitments at the Lemon Grove Alano Club. That's my home base. I have a free fall meeting on Tuesdays. We just drop it like it's hot. Wednesday, I'm the speaker coordinator. And I just do the best I can because I'm not perfect. But I'm so not what I used to be. When I walked in these doors, I could look at myself and say, God dang it. You're doing the dang thing. You're doing the best you can. I'm willing to learn. I've surrendered. So I'm doing all I can. And if I just stay in the herd, I'm going to stay sober. And if I stay sober, I get to be happy, joyous, and free. So that's basically all I have. Oh, welcome to the newcomers. The newcomers, check it out. All of us were newcomers before. We all may have had fear. We all may have been confused. Whatever your issue is, keep coming back. Keep coming back. And I advise you for me, you wouldn't believe I was shy, but I was quiet. I was quiet. I suggest going to speaker meetings. And when you hear people, you may hear parts of your story and it'll make you feel comfortable. And you know that you're not alone. Because all of us have a journey. We all have different journeys. And we're all here to get a solution to make the journey better. Thank you for letting me share.
Okay, I'd like to thank Tony, our speaker tonight, and she'll be back someday and visit us, so thank you, Tony. I'd like to thank the residents of the house and the Women's Auxiliary because they helped us with the pancake breakfast this morning, and it was a great pancake breakfast. Yes, it was. You guys missed out. You guys that didn't go, you guys missed out. It was good. All right, and Tony, you still have one thing left to do, and that's pick a prayer and circle this up and...